Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We are in part 15 of my series on liberalism. We have been in a parenthesis away from my main topic of liberalism, studying ecumenical and interfaith, interspirituality, some of the terms that I think that you need to know more about and the movements that are associated with the terms. We have been looking at these groups and their attempts to create a one-world church, as in the case of the Roman Catholic Church, and a one-world religion to a greater extent, I think, also with the Catholic Church. But also, last week in particular, of course, we've been looking at the United Religions Initiative. And this group, as I shared last week, we looked at some of the history of it, and I was in the process, reading from one of the articles in the 90s, as we looked at what the URI is, what I call it now, what it was like then, and then we'll look further in our talk this evening, what it's like now, because it's still with us. Now, I began to describe the URI, or the United Religion Initiatives, three categories, and these are traditionally religious, secular, and fringe religious. And we made it through, I believe, the first two, but we're going to go ahead and just start over for anybody just joining us who weren't with us last week. I know this is in the archives, but I feel comfortable that we should just go ahead, feel more comfortable if we go ahead and start these categories over again. And the first category includes those representatives of the traditional religions who have publicly endorsed the URA or who have actually attended the URI's June conferences. And that was, of course, in the 90s, those conferences. As we've noticed, that Rome, the Catholic Church, was actually opposed then at that time. But as we'll see, some things have changed over the years. Now, Rome stands as the firmest opponent of the URI. This is a quote, of course, from the 1997 article. There is no evidence that evangelical Christians were contacted for this conference in 97 or that any offered support for this venture. Among Christians, endorsements have been offered by such impressive figures as Hans Kung, Mother Teresa, and a few other folks, and I'll skip those now to save time. Also, one individual, the defrocked Dominican ex-Catholic, now Episcopal New Age priest, Matthew Fox. A lot of the mainstream Christian endorsements that the bishop gathered during his 1996 spring tour should be considered extremely soft today in view of the URI's headlong departure from the vision that Swing was presenting for endorsement at the time. Second category includes various secular and establishment connected groups that have offered their endorsement and or direct participation. Among them, the Gorbachev Foundation, the Soros Foundation, George Soros, of course, all of the above, David Cooper Ryder, who probably less noteworthy to you, but one of the big groundbreaking individuals with this organization. All of the above are known as promoters of an ambitious social engineering process, project, I should say. These are secular people with no particular religious bias one way or the other. And they have been promoters of an ambitious social engineering project to displace traditional values seen as divisive, however you use the term, pronounce it, and replace them with a boundary-blurring humanistic ethic more supportive of rule by a global elite. Okay, why are such people and organizations offering aid and comfort to the URI? During the religious proliferation that marked the end of the Roman Empire, it's interesting he should draw that parallel, I think, to what's going on in the Western civilization of our days. It was said that all of the religions were regarded by the people as equally true, by the philosophers as equally false, and by the politicians as equally useful. That is a spirit in which much of the URI's secular support has been extended. I find that very interesting. Now, the third category, that of fringe religions, include the overtly New Age, psychic, occult, neo-pagan and eco-feminist forms of quote-unquote spirituality that are migrating into the URI, keeping in mind that this element of the movement was recently expanded to include earnest agnostics. In this category would be groups such as the Temple of Understanding, the Berkeley-based Church of the Divine Man, and the previously mentioned Guru Ma, as well as significant Wiccan or neo-witchcraft contingent. Of course, I'll say more about that as time allows towards the end of my talk. Paul Chaffee said that Wiccan brothers and sisters brought profound and ancient wisdom to our collaboration at the 1997 Summit Conference. In addition to New Age groups per se, the URI has attracted the support and involvement of prominent New Age spokesmen, speakers, and authors such as Matthew Fox, who used to be in the Christian category, or at least so-called Christian category, Robert Mueller, and Barbara Marx Hubbard. In their case, and I'll get into more detail with these folks later, in their case, at any rate, the nature of the influence they bring is clear, since all three have been describing their agendas in detail for a decade or more, and this has been, of course, years ago. For an in-depth treatment of Fox, Mueller, Marx Hubbard, and their agendas, see SCP Journal, and this is an older, Preparing for the Cosmic Millennium, which was an older journal put out by the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. So those are the three categories. Now, in an article entitled Gnostic Concerns, and that's actually, there's three things I want to look at. I want to look at Gnostic concerns, the Roman Catholic concerns, and biblical fundamentalist Christian concerns. And that's kind of the categories that I'll be looking at now from some of the excellent articles that I've picked up here. But from this article, the Gnostic concerns, by Mr. Penn, who wrote a couple of the other articles I've quoted from, I want to go to page 3 of this article. And we find here that it attracts the usual assortment of rich people, celebrities, activists, and gurus. On the spiritual side are Stanislav Grof, a transpersonal psychologist, and I'll pause there to comment. For those of you who are not familiar with this individual, his transpersonal psychologist, when the term transpersonal psychologist is used, really you could just about substitute the term New Age, more of a New Age type psychology as opposed to the conventional psychology that people are aware of. This individual, Mr. Grof, Stanislav Grof, was actually, I found, a special consultant to the psychic movie called Brainstorm years ago, which starred Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood. And it was a wild movie, I must say. I saw it, read the review of it, where I found that that's where I found out this man was a special consultant to this movie. And one of the things that it was pursuing in the movie was near-death experiences as a proof of really a pantheistic connection to a force, Star Wars force type God concept and near-death experiences. But very, very fascinating movie. Actually, Natalie Wood died during the filming of that movie. Just a little side note. Hal Puthoff, and here's some more interesting information for you, who is described in this article as an ESP researcher, was actually what is known as a remote viewer. And I can't remember if he was with the CIA branch team of what's known as remote viewers, or if he was in the U.S. Army team, as there were two predominant teams of what could also be called psychic spies. And I won't go into any more detail, because when I do my talk on spiritism, I will get into more detail. But these are some interesting people that are popping up here. Another one that I would be remiss to not mention is the chairman of the Institute of Noetic Science, who I mentioned last week, and I couldn't remember the name of the founder of this group, who may have been the chairman that they referenced there. I'm surprised they wouldn't have given his name, as he was a famous man in things other than in New Age spirituality, and that is that he was a astronaut. I can't remember which one. I mean, Edgar Mitchell was his name. He was an astronaut, and he founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is a pretty big New Age group. I've heard him speak several times at UFO conferences personally, and he was one of the astronauts who walked on the moon. So yet another individual who backs the, or did back, the United Religions Initiative. Barbara Marx Hubbard, another new prominent New Age author. Matthew Fox, I mentioned earlier. Deepak Chopra, one of Oprah's favorite guests. Again, New Age spirituality. Ram Dass, same thing. And Tony Robbins, Sam Keen. So this is, you know, some of the folks from the more unusual fringe religious type groups that have shown an interest. Other individuals, of course, Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, and I won't go into some, we've already, Ted Turner, but I won't go into too many more. But a lot of people, in other words, let's say a lot of people that you would know their names that are involved both in the secular, in the New Age world, and in the fake Christian world, let's say. Documents from the 1995 State of the World Forum show some of what these folks want us to do. We must create an ecumenical, ecological theology centered in a renewed sense of reverence for the environment. Religions must wrestle with questions of sexuality, contraception, abortion, and family planning in order to control population growth. Boy, this article was from the 90s, but we see now where we're at. And we see how this group has not gone away, and we see how and why perhaps some of the secular involvement in this new world or new world order attempt, and we see the same things that are so much in the news headlines today, and so many of the issues and the problems that are being dealt with by evil liberals, I'll just put it that way. And but these are the kind of issues that, you know, these people are wanting to deal with, these worldwide issues that they want to deal with rather than look to God, the Creator. Our Creator talks about one such prophet. They're referring to him as a prophet, and that's Robert Mueller, who was involved with the UN. He was actually the Secretary General, or actually the Assistant Secretary General at one time to the United Nations, who describes himself as a Catholic, but whose many writings consistently offer a different notion of salvation. As he said in an interview in a Theosophist newsletter, the UN is humanity's incipient global brain. We still need a global soul, namely our consciousness and fusion with the entire universe and stream of time. He has written that our supreme interests include the apotheosis of the human race, and blandly asserts that the world's major religions in the end all want the same thing. He has declared his belief in karma and reincarnation, but to those who balk at political and spiritual globalization, he promises a hellish destiny. Their souls will be parked in a special corral of the universe for having been retarding forces. Well, I've got news for him. There is a corral, a special corral in the universe that's going to be very hellish, and it's going to be a place for those who reject God's truth, God's Messiah, and God's coming kingdom, of which he will have nothing to do with building. Now, Mueller wrote, the world core curriculum now being taught in Robert Mueller schools around the world, and thinks it should be the basis for universal educational reform. The world core curriculum manual says that the underlying philosophy of the Mueller schools will be found in the teachings set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey by the Tibetan teacher Jual Kul, published by Lucis Publishing Company, and the teachings of M. Moria as given in the Agni Yoga series books. What those books set forth is theosophy. Remember, he was interviewed for a Theosophist newsletter earlier. Theosophy, a Gnostic movement that arose in the 19th century and has had significant influence on New Age and occult movements throughout or worldwide in this century. A vice president of the Lucis Trust, which issues the Theosophist newsletter cited above and runs Lucis Publishing, has said of Mueller that he apparently has been influenced by Alice Bailey's works. We have been a great supporter of his work. He's also been influenced by somebody else that we all know and don't love, and that is the enemy of our souls, the devil. Now, another New Age supporter of the URI is Barbara Marx Hubbard. A futurist is the term she uses for herself. She endorsed the URI, saying that joined with other comparable efforts, it may be the catalyst for a great awakening of the planet. A planetary birthday. Her basically Gnostic message is delivered in book after book. Here, culled from her works, is a synopsis of the gospel according to Hollywood. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but you get the idea of the New Age influence here. Even better known, perhaps, than Mueller and Hubbard is Neil Donald Walsh, whose cozy book, Conversations with God books, have made him the Don Cremio of the New Age. The URI has given Walsh the leadership of its Committee on Spirituality and the Global Social Agenda. Yet even with Walsh's and God's awesome responsibilities, the two still take time for the chats that have produced their bestsellers. So where would God be without Neil Donald Walsh, I guess I'd have to say. But anyway, their chats, you know, that's what Conversations with God books that he has written are supposedly are. But somehow I don't think that's the God of that we know as Christians. That's not the true God, because he has closed the canon of Scripture, and his communication with man in books ended with the 66th book of the Bible. Now, Walsh's celestial confidant, that would be God, has told him that there's no such thing as the Ten Commandments. God's law is no law. This is something you cannot understand. I require nothing. Hitler went to heaven. He's got some real sound bites there. There is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. Obedience is not what I want from you. And this is God supposedly speaking. Obedience is not growth, and growth is what I desire. Adam and Eve are said to have committed original sin. I tell you this, it was the original blessing. What else does he have to say? In fact, God has said, forget about religion, and it is religion which has filled the hearts of men with fear. Well, I would agree that religion itself is not a good thing. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, of course, is where it's at. False religions and the attempts to combine them shows you really the evil and the evil that will yet come with Mystery Babylon, the great harlot that the beast will use in his influence on this planet Earth when he comes. God has also informed Walsh of his wish for a bicameral world government and the redistribution of wealth. One bit of this divine plan is worth quoting more fully. Nothing could be purchased without the world's government's credits. There would be no other negotiable currency. There is a biblical warning about this kind of system. St. John the Divine in the book of Revelation said, there would come a time when no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. His number is 666. And that's Revelation 13, verses 17 through 18. Now, this is the concern, as I say, Gnostic concerns. These are the current concerns that we should all have about this march towards Gnosticism and New Age religion. But it's interesting that the Roman Catholic Church, or at least those conservative Roman Catholics, have concerns that showed up in a newsletter called, or a blog site called The Remnant. And the author of this article, Michael Matt, named this article Pope Francis and the United Religions Initiative. So the Roman Catholic Church, interestingly enough, or at least some of the conservative members, have concerns about this United Religions Initiative as well. But let's just say there are also a lot of Roman Catholics who are probably just fine with it. As long as Pope Francis likes it, it's good enough for me, right? So there is a diversity within the Roman Catholic Church. But anyway, to move on, this is an interesting name. It's called The Remnant. And so you have, even though I believe Roman Catholicism is a false religion itself, you have those that are of a conservative bent who themselves are concerned about this movement towards a world religion. So the hope would be, and I wanted to state this later, but I'll just say it now, we should pray that many Catholics will see the evil direction that their church, that they hold allegiance to, is going. And they may not understand the full ramifications of where it's going, along the lines of Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon, the Great Harlot. But we hope that they might see that it is a false church and that they need truly to be born again and brought into the true body of Christ through Jesus Christ and get out of this false church. That should be our prayer. I know I have many friends who have escaped Rome and have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But now, these concerns, and let's just get on with it now from this article. Question, what explains the love affair going on between the vicar of Christ on earth and the modern executioners of his mystical body in the media? The Rolling Stone magazine cover, Time Magazine's Person of the Year, the Advocate's growing praise, and now CNN Money, our fortune, is listing the Holy Father as the greatest leader in the world today, edging out frontrunners Angela Merkel, Warren Buffett, and Bill Clinton. You know, this just shows really the popularity of this liberal pope. And this is what really I was alluding to earlier when I talked about the United Religions Initiative then and now. And we'll look more at this and see what's happening. Pope Benedict the 16th, who was the last pope, of course, and even Pope Paul II, are vilified by the same media as intransigent traditionalists. Okay, so this Catholic author is showing the difference between the good old days of the other vicars, who, of course, were also lining up to say, well, our church is the only church, this is the only way to salvation, and yet turning the other way and saying, hey, let's get together with all these false religions and pray for world peace. So a tremendous amount of hypocrisy there going on. But because of the some of the conservative views of some of the other two popes, some of these folks are up in arms. Well, anyway, I would just say, you know, all popes were bad, in my opinion, because they represent a false church. But this guy really is something else. This guy Francis, because of his, you know, he's getting more and more outrageous in his statements and in his views as a revered world leader of who'd have thunk it, the left-wing press media in the world. It says, for the radical leftist PBS, Pope Francis emerges as a kind of redeemer of the church and all her works and pomps. So anyway, let me just move on here. Francis has electrified the church and attracted legions of non-Catholic admirers by energetically setting a new direction. He's refused to occupy the palatial papal apartments and has washed the feet of a female Muslim prisoner and on and on and on. He famously asked, who am I to judge with regard to the church's view of gay members? You know, yeah. And who am I to judge? All those pedophile priests. Oh, I'm sorry. I just threw that on my own. But anyway, so after 2,000 years, contra mundum, it is Peter's new direction that is garnering the accolades of a world gone mad, a world no longer capable of distinguishing right from wrong, a world at war with God, a world crushing Christian marriage, eradicating the last vestiges of truth, goodness, and beauty while wiping out millions of unborn babies. Whew, pretty strong. It says, it is no secret that the Holy Father has his supporters in radical organizations such as the Council for a Parliament of the World Religions. He is regularly praised for his extensive experience in interreligious relations in Argentina, or you could say interspiritual, of course. And then there is this strangely underreported connection between Pope Francis and a global organization called the United Religions Initiative, which, according to their website, envisions a world of peace sustained by engaged and interconnected communities committed to respect for diversity, nonviolent resolution of conflict, and social, political, economic, and environmental justice. Pope Francis, while still Cardinal Bergoglio, if I said that right, was reportedly a friend and supporter of the San Francisco-based URI, which has regional offices in 83 countries and seems to have its ultimate objective, the establishment of what conspiracy theorists used to call the One World Religion, whereby Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Shintoists, Baha'is, Sikhs, Hindus, Zoroastrians, New Ages, Wiccans, representatives of Aboriginal religions, etc., would set aside all doctrinal differences or claims of religious supremacy in order to engender universal, peaceful coexistence. So the switch, the change over here from the Catholic Church, at least one contingent of it, and their view of the URI has obviously changed. It says that in 2007, the URI celebrated its 10th anniversary in the Metropolitan Cathedral in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And guess who was there? Little did we know, writes an enthusiastic Maria Eugenia Crespo of URI in Argentina, that one of our esteemed participants and friends, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, would be named Pope just 5 years later. According to, you know what, I'm going to stop there and move to the next thing. within the Catholic Church, opinion about the URI is divided. Rome stands firm against it, but some theologians, priests, and this again, this is from an older article, okay, 1998 article by Mr. Penn, who we've referred to earlier. Rome stands firm against it, but some theologians, priests, and sisters, and a few members of the hierarchy actively support it. At Rome in 1996, Bishop Swing met with Cardinal Arinze, head of the Vatican's Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Bishop Swing received a firm rebuff from the Cardinal. He reported that Cardinal said the United Religions would give the appearance of syncretism and it would water down our need to evangelize. Okay. Some Catholics, however, are not following Cardinal Arinze's lead. Paul Evaristo Cardinal Arns, the recently retired Archbishop of Sao Paulo, Brazil, is claimed by the URI as a strong supporter. Okay, and it mentions some other names which you probably, like I, would not be familiar with. If Francis is still a friend and supporter of URI, this should shed some light on the media's optimism that a papal declaration of a doctrinal and moral ceasefire is imminent. It would also suggest that when Pope Francis reprimands reactionary, self-absorbed neo-Pelagians, he is in fact not referring merely to Latin mass-loving traditionalists, a small and comparatively insignificant group, but rather to all those who insist on rigid fidelity to the doctrines of the Catholic Church. This could include EWTN, the TV network, Catholic Answers, Opus Dei, and any number of conservative pro-family, pro-life organizations whose dogmatic belief that Christ founded only one true church, the Catholic Church. Now, I'm moving quickly as I'm running out of time, protecting the environment, refusing to judge, tearing down the old Catholic bastions of tradition, not being obsessed with the life issues, showing limitless compassion to dissenters from the Church's moral teachings. These are elements the URI would naturally employ to bring about the religious ceasefire so key to their utopian vision, what some have called a New World Order. Now, what I'm going to do is, next week, I will be moving to the next category, and that is concern. As I mentioned before, we were looking at the Gnostic concerns, the Roman Catholic concerns, and then we'll be looking at the biblical fundamentalists, I would refer to, sound true remnant Christians, the biblical fundamentalists' Christian concerns about this movement. And then we'll also have a look at some of the things that have been coming up lately, and very interestingly, right along the same lines of what's going on here with what the Pope is doing and some of the wild things that are going on. I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. God bless. Bye.